we'll figure it out. Hey, Vanya, how's it going?
Hi, Mike Jensen. It's going okay. My lips are a little numb still.
Yeah, so. You sent me a video about an hour ago that was pretty funny. What? did you have some dental work?
I did. Went to the dentist for the first time after the pandemic. So it's been 3 years plus. I know, bad on me, but whatever. It's what happened. And I was like, I need to get my teeth cleaned. You know, I wasn't having any pain or anything. I felt fine. But when they went in, you know, they take the x-rays and I had two little cavities in the both back bottom teeth, molars or whatever. It's kind of a bummer. I was really like, my pride was hurt because I was like, I really think of myself as someone who takes care of their teeth very good, but I just have to spend more time on those back molars. You know, just got real scum real hard.
Yeah, I take pretty good care of my teeth. I mean, I haven't been to a dentist in, I mean, I can't even tell you. Like, it's definitely been like a decade. I don't know. It's been forever. And the thing is, I used to always go to the dentist, and my sister was the dental hygienist. So like, she would always do a cleaning and like, check things out. And my teeth from checkup to checkup didn't really change a whole lot. Like, there wasn't really anything developing other than the fact that I have a lot of chipped molars. I have chipped molars from having my tongue pierced. Literally, it was only ever chicken and broccoli. Anytime I'd have chicken and broccoli, the broccoli would catch and I would bite down. And I've like, I know, it's terrible. I'm so sorry. And many of them had been filled, and then listen. I mean, I'm telling my dirty truth right now. I've definitely like have fillings that have fallen out, and I've just like lived with like I have holes in my teeth, and none of them hurt. Like, none of it bothers me. Like, I definitely should, but I'm definitely terrified of going to a dentist and then being like, well, here's the $25,000 worth of work that you have to have done on your mouth, and yeah, it does scare me. It's sort of that whole like. That story about where they don't tell the grandma that she has cancer because they think that when they tell her, then that's when she will start feeling the effects. That's how I feel with my teeth. Like, I feel like if I just don't go to a dentist, everything's fine. Like, if I just don't confront the problem, which I know is not the reality of the situation.
Well, you know, but, you know, it's interesting. I decided, because I have not found a good dentist out here since we moved out here. And I would always go back home or back where I was, where you and I grew up, to the dentist. Yeah. When we lived in New York, because I'd always go like twice a year at least, you know, and that's when my aunt was actually, she was my hygienist. And so I would just go wherever she went. So anyways, yeah, I haven't found anybody very good. And so I really did specifically look on like Yelp or whatever for people who are nice. I just need someone to be nice to me because my mind is so powerful. And so it's kind of in a similar way. I was like, and so I did the cleaning and they were super cool. I felt happy. And even the way the dentist described my cavity, he's like, they're very little on each side. And I was like, okay, I can handle that. But then when they, you know, they put the needle, you know, to like numb you before. Uh-huh. I didn't know if you know that they did that. Honestly didn't really know what the fuck was happening. I was like, oh my God. I started to panic. And I'm very proud of myself. Like, I worked on the panic attack. It went away after, but I felt like, oh my God, what if I can't swallow? Like, everything was going numb. I wasn't preparing myself. Like, I was in too good of a headspace, actually. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't prepare myself for, like, the, you know, my husband's had quite a few cavities. So he's like, well, you know, and he's like, kind of saying things to me. And I'm not even really listening to him. I'm like, yeah, I'll be back. I'm going to volunteer after I'm done. And then I'm going to do my podcast with Mike. And I was not in a way at all that I could do that. So, anywho, perhaps I'll share that video on our social medias. So silly.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It definitely reminded me of, if anyone's watched The West Wing, the episode where CJ Craig goes to get teeth work done and they do an emergency root canal because then she can't talk afterwards. It's,
oh my God.
It's a pretty good moment.
Please be very careful. Try very, very hard not to destroy us.
Yeah.
Anyways, and you can't eat because they're like, you're going to, I can't even say it.
Right.
Bite your tongue. And it's really upsetting. So, yeah. Yeah, but otherwise, my week has been just fine. We're getting along. I'm still getting over. It's been a week since my voice was gone. And I wasn't able to record with you or Averyn.
Right.
So we missed a week. And I'm still kind of getting over it. But it's, you know, right now, my right nostril is just like running. So now it's in my nose.
Just constantly.
I fucking hate being sick, man. I hate it.
Yeah, it's rough. I've had this weird thing where I've just felt like I have like almost a lump in my throat And I just thought, like, well, it's because I'd been dealing with the sinus infection. And yeah. I was like, oh, it's probably just like the residuals of that. And I do feel like I'm still dealing with that a little bit. But it, then I think what it actually is I think that I have like a sort of mild case of acid reflux, which I used to get like every year or so. I'd get a flare up. It didn't really feel like this, but it was similar. So I'm, you know, I'm on the medication that you take for like 3 weeks and it feels a little bit better. I don't know. It's weird. It's always weird when like something's just a little off in your body. And you and Avrin were talking about this, that like, it's just so easy for us to take for granted feeling normal.
Yeah.
That when something doesn't feel normal, you're like, what's going on? This is terrible. Yeah. So
it's like, I can worry about all the other things when everything is working properly, but that, you know, in your body, but then when your something goes down, you're like, oh my God, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
It just feels like a disaster.
It does. It feels like a train wreck in my face, which is what's happening. Not literally.
Yeah, it's been an interesting. I mean, I had company. My friend Eric, who you know, came to visit for a few days. And that's always fun. It's always fun because we tend to just sort of like walk around. Like, it's fun to just go to a neighborhood and be like, this is my memory of this neighborhood, or like, oh, remember that restaurant that was here, and sort of like just reminiscing about. Yeah, it's fun. Well, once again, you need to come to New York and we need to have our walk around. And you know, we ended up going out to, I went really close to your old neighborhood in Greenpoint.
No way.
We went to a friend of mine. Well, my friend Jesse is managing a restaurant not super close to that, but a sister restaurant that a previous manager of both of ours is now working at is kind of close. It's right on the like the sort of the Williamsburg Greenpoint border. Like we took a train into Williamsburg and then walked, and it was funny, we were walking down, I couldn't figure out what street we were supposed to be on, because I think about when we used to walk down the street, and it's Manhattan, which is hilarious that I couldn't think of the fact that it's Manhattan. But we were walking down this part of Manhattan, like, I feel like this is it, but I don't recognize anything. And then we got, can you remember kind of where like it's a Manhattan sort of like takes a little bit of a turn, and then suddenly there was like the McDonald's and the Starbucks that looks like a theater. And I was like, that if we just walked forward, that's Vanya and I, like that's where we used to do all of our walking and like all the little restaurants that we used to go to. And at that point we were running late, so we had to like then turn around and go to this restaurant. It was really cool. It's this strange sort of like high-end Japanese fusion restaurant. Here's what I'll say. It is not a restaurant that I would probably ever go to, like just to go to eat. Like it did sort of feel like an event. And you know, I can't eat gluten, and I was there with two friends who can't eat dairy, and one of those friends also can't have like nuts or soy. So we just literally, we like put the menus down and said to the server that was taking care of us, we were like, you just send out food, like,
yeah,
whatever you think, whatever we can eat, if one of us can't eat it, just tell us. And he ended up doing an amazing job. Like, we just had like course after course, and everything was something that all three of us could actually eat.
Cool.
And it was really, really fun. And like I had such a sort of a play on the cocktails that I made when I came to see you the last time.
The corpse reviver.
No, well, we had those, but I'd also made like the vu carré, I think is what it's called.
Oh,
I'm probably saying it wrong.
That's
now.
That's right. Yeah.
But this was, I think it was called like a blue carré, and it had a blue cheese stuffed olive in it, which is so 1999. But also, and also, I don't like that, but I totally ate it anyway. I'm like, I'm here, I'm part, I'm doing the experience.
Good.
So I yeah, it was really cool. And then like they brought like various sake in between courses, and I'm not really a sake person, but it was kind of like just sort of fun.
What's
sort of like
called?
Wild experience. It is called the rule of thirds. Does that sound right?
Sure. I mean, that's the saying, so.
Yeah, I think it has to do with photography, like something about that. But yeah, that was the name. It's like an event space, and it's a woman who was my manager, like, right, well, before COVID and then post-COVID, and like really got us through the COVID phase at my restaurant.
Wow.
And like, I love her so much, and she's such a, like, so good at her job. And I like, but it's like an event space, so like so they have like the restaurant, but then like there were two weddings on Saturday and like two weddings on Sunday.
Oh,
and like, yeah, so there's a lot, it's a lot going on there, but it's a really cool space. It's very, very, it's very, very interesting. Once again, I definitely had that feeling of like, I probably would not just like randomly come here for dinner. Oh, one of the things they brought out was like this bib lettuce salad, which I was looking at, I'm like, cool, a bowl of bib lettuce. It was so good. It was so delicious.
Really?
It was like some sort of like yuzu honey vinaigrette. It was very, very, yeah, it was very unusual, but really, really good. Yeah. Anyways, it was very, very fun. A really, really cool dining experience. I guess because it's been 2 weeks, I'm like, gosh, there's so much. Because like I also worked a lot. Like we're sort of in transition with. So I worked a double Saturday and a double Sunday after closing on Friday. And I will say that like by the end of the day on Sunday, I was just like, I don't know how, because this week I'm doing Thursday, Friday, double Saturday, double Sunday. And I'm just already like trying not to dread it because that's not going to make it better. But I'm definitely like, please let me get through this. Also,
yeah,
this is very, very strange, but I got, so I'm going to go to Fire Island for not a full week this time, but I'm doing like 5 nights at a hotel. Yeah, I'm going when I know other people that are there. They're doing a share, but they're doing like the kind of share where like everyone's sharing beds and sharing rooms. And I was like, I'm bougie. I was like, I kind of want my own room and my own. So I'm staying at the hotel. I was supposed to be staying at this hotel. And I stayed there before. It's pretty nice. I was a little bit like, I don't think it has a mini fridge, which, you know, I like to like put things in a fridge and have my breakfast ready. And so I got an email from the hotel basically being like, we are sorry to tell you that we cannot accommodate you, but we have found an alternative form of lodging that we think you'll like even more. And I kind of looked it up, and it's a house. It's a house not far from the hotel, but it's like a 3-bedroom house. So
so you get the whole house?
I have no idea, Vanya. I have no idea. I need to call them because I have to decide if I'm not going to cancel. Whatever the situation is, I'm going to be like, this is the universe. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But like, I'm certain that I'm not invading someone else's vacation. Like, I'm certain that it's not like someone else has booked the house. Oh, but I'm going to be staying in one of the rooms in your house.
That'd be weird.
It's so weird. It's such a weird, like, that I'm a little bit panicked about it, but I'm also like, all right, I guess we'll see what happens. Like,
did they say why?
No, they didn't. I assume that it must just be like overbooked or something like that. Like I assume that there's some behind the scenes reason, and they must just have access to this property. And honestly, truly, if I'm there and it's other people in the house that are in the same situation as me, it's kind of like, that's fine, because it's almost like a hotel. Like I'll have,
sure,
I'm guaranteed my own room with its own bathroom.
Okay.
There's a shared space that does involve a kitchen. So, like, theoretically, I will now have a fridge.
Sure.
It also has its own pool. Like, it has a private pool on the property. So, I don't know. I'm sort of in that space of, like, what is happening? But also, like, maybe it'll be a fun adventure.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. I also just booked my plane ticket to come to San Diego in July.
Yes.
And then we'll have to talk because I have not booked a return flight yet. So we'll see what your life looks like right then. And hopefully I can come and hang out for a bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah, kids are starting school that next week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be busy.
Oh, do they start in August?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the beginning. It sucks.
Oh, gosh. I always forget that. I always forget that school doesn't start in September
anymore.
And it's
so hot here in August. It's right. So hot. But no, it'll be fine. It's going to be fine. I love it.
We'll figure it out. And then I'm also seeing Sweeney Todd tomorrow. So,
ooh, fun. Oh,
very excited.
Wait.
I've like the vast like array of reviews that I've heard have not prepared me for how I'm going to feel about it. So, I'm just going to go in kind of like blank slate and be like, "All right, let's see how I feel about this show." So, super excited for that. Yeah, it's been a lot. I saw New York, New York.
Oh, yeah, what'd you think?
So, here's what I thought. I thought the beginning was a mess. I thought that it starts with this weird moment of this guy like screaming, like turning on the sign that says New York, New York, and screaming like, I love this city. And it's like so pandery. Like it's so like meant to make the audience clap. And it just felt like it didn't feel earned to me. Yeah. And maybe it's from the film. Like maybe I just don't get it because I haven't seen the movie. And then I will say the last five minutes brought me to my feet. Like it ends up being so good that it just made me wish that it had started stronger. Because you have this lead woman whose name I can't remember. You know, she's like playing the Liza Minnelli character and supposed to be like this incredible performer. And I will say like she's fine. Like she does a good job. But here's the thing. She's not fine. She's amazing. Right. But it's as though they make her save it all for the last number. And I was kind of like, no, you have to like give us that earlier on. I don't know. It was a weird, and it's like Susan Stroman, who's kind of like a, you know, renowned director choreographer. So I don't think that it's certainly not that she doesn't know what she's doing. I was just, I don't know. I kind of just wanted it to start a little bit stronger. That was That was the hard thing. And then I saw, I'm going to say this name wrong too, but it's the sign in Sydney Bristow's window. That's, it was Lorraine Hansberry's second play. It's her other play after, Raisin in the Sun. And it's Rachel Brosnahan from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Oscar Isaac. Or is it Isaac Oscar? I always get that backwards. And they're both great. It's a really, really fascinating play. I kind of get why it's not done more often, because it's very... messy in a good way, I would say. Like, there's a lot of like, ooh, that's a, okay, that's a word and that's a subject. It's a lot of like thorny issues, but I was really, really impressed by it. I thought that they did a really good job. It gets a little too artsy for its own good towards the end, and then like it lost me for a minute where I'm like, why are we being sort of like metaphysical? I don't know. It had a weird moment and then brought it back. But anyways, there you go. Theater, seeing lots of theater.
Love it.
That's fun. Yeah.
Love it.
I have like, once again, things we've already talked about for the things I'm digging right now. I don't know if you have a specific thing you want to talk about. I feel like we might have some stuff in common.
I do. I have one thing that is new to me that is I'm digging, and it is actually, Mike was a special guest on a podcast called...
Oh, fun. Yeah.
The Celebration, a tour through the tours of Madonna. And it has your friend Eric, and also Eric's friend John. Is that what his name?
Yes.
John Flynn. I laughed so fucking hard, Mike. I swear to God, your episode particularly, because I know you and whatever, you know, that's the first one I listened to. And then now I'm going to go back and start again. But the knowledge that what everybody brought to the, because which one did you cover? You covered Blonde Ambition Tour, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know so much, but you have like all sorts of fun facts. They have all sorts of fun facts and like what the hell facts. I'm like, how do they even? But I mean, I guess that's their job. They're researching this, the tour. But I loved it. It made me, and I love the way they sprinkle in the music. Not even any music you guys mention, anything. It's like, it was such a joyful listen. And I'm not even fully done yet because it's like a 2-hour episode, but I love it. I love it so much. It's so much fun. So if you guys are interested, anybody out there, it's called The Celebration, a tour through the tours of Madonna. And you can get it anywhere you get your podcasts. Give them 5 stars, man. Give them a rating. Because I think more people will, it will bring you joy. That is my digging this week.
That's awesome. Thank you. I mean, you know, I'm such a small part of it, but it was really, really fun. I mean, I love Madonna and I love her tours. And like you and I have that in common. We're like,
yes.
I mean, it was funny because they came to me, or Eric came to me and was like, hey, which tour? Like, I knew they were doing the Virgin tour, just the two of them. And then they wanted to bring in guests from then on. And Eric was like, well, choose. Like, which would you like to do? And I was like, well, instinctively, I want to say the Blonde Ambition tour because it's the first one that I saw. And I was super obsessed with it when I was a kid. And, like, I learned choreography from it. And... But I was also like, I mean, I think of The Girly Show because we watched that so many times. I mean, Vanya and I probably, I'm talking to you.
It's
you
true.
And I probably watched The Girly Show 20, 30 times when we were in, like, we watched it so
It would be like
often.
Our comfort viewing, you know? We're like, you know what? Let's just end the
Let's
night
just put
with-
on The Girly Show. And then, you know, it was after that that I started seeing her live. Like, I've seen every tour since then other than the Rebel Heart tour. Like, I was able to see her live. So I was kind of like, whichever one you want me to do. And then it ultimately ended up being Blonde Ambition. And it was just fun. Like, it was fun just, like, having a conversation. And, yeah, John did an amazing job with the editing and, like, layering in the music.
Yeah,
and
so fun.
Definitely moments that I'm like, oh, I'm glad that's not it. Because there are a couple of things that I said that you know, just didn't make any sense. And, you know, you never know when you're talking about these things how it's going to end up coming across. But I was really happy. I thought that it was fun even for me to listen to, and I was part of it.
Oh, it was so fun. I mean, I would listen to you on every episode, but I know they have other guests, but whatever. I still will listen. I'm really, really enjoying it. It's true. I do love the tours. I love them. So that's fun. What about you? So we're going to, of course, Mike, I'm sure you did listen to Avern and I, the rom-com.
I did, yeah.
I can't stop talking about Somebody Somewhere. Now people are going to be like,
talk
shut
about
the fuck
up, because I want to talk about it some more. Yeah.
And if you'd like to hear me pontificate further, you can go to our latest episode for Rom Crime. But I just can't get over the little moments that I find so weirdly relatable. I don't know. I feel like whoever made this fucking show, like, is inside my head a little bit here and there. I mean, there's, you know, just little things that they say, or maybe I'm just like a brash human being like Bridget Everett is, because I'm sure a part of it is improvised a little, but I don't know. I don't know, because sometimes you can see them and they're like really laughing, and I love it. I just,
right.
It feels so, it feels genuine to me, you know? And then the whole bit with the singing teacher and the idea of like, and I think I got it wrong when I was speaking on Rum Crime, but what, in the most recent episode, it talks about how joy, something that brought you joy, can also bring you so much pain.
No, it's really true. And I know that I've kind of talked about it on this before and we've kind of discussed it, but like, I don't know. I'm so afraid to sing. And I don't know why. I mean, I kind of know why.
Yeah.
But I, like, literally yesterday I was like, just warm up. Like, just like do some scales. And I couldn't do it. Like, I could not get myself to make noise.
Interesting.
And yeah, so I know that you've had similar experiences, yeah. And you like, and really, yeah, that scene with the music teacher was so, both of them in two episodes ago and this last one, where it's like so moving to me and so relatable. And then, yeah, I guess we won't get into specifics, but man, that last episode hurt me.
I know.
I was like, ooh, like, I don't know what happens next. Like, I'm sure I have faith in them. Like, I have faith in their storytelling.
Yeah.
I was a little bit like, no, you're supposed to make me feel better after I watch Barry in Succession. And,
yeah, you know? Yeah.
But I still, yeah, I love it. I think it's so incredible. I mean, once we've talked about it before, like, I just love that we have these actors that are like just killing it, like just like doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing and doing it so well. Yeah. So I'm loving that. I wish that everyone was watching it. Have you been watching the other two? Did we talk about this already?
No, but I really want to. We haven't gotten there yet, but I really
It's really killing it this season. Like,
good.
These last two episodes have been so, like, spot on. I was texting with our friend Katie about the one two episodes ago of just, like, they are just firing on all cylinders. Like, it's so funny and, like, so particularly, like, I don't have a lot of experience in show business, but, like, sort of tangentially I do, and you have more than I, you definitely watch it and are like, yep, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. And then I know that I've talked about this several times, I just have to give a final grade. Mrs. Davis, I ended up loving it. It's so, for a show that was like kind of confounding in the beginning, and you just have to believe that it's gonna get there, because it does. And I was just listening to an interview with Betty Gilpin, and she's just so smart and like so funny and like just seems so like normal. Like, just seems like a cool person. And her sort of talking about how, you know, like reading the first two scripts and deciding to do it, even though in those first two scripts you are kind of left thinking like, I don't know what this is about. Like, I don't know what, it's entertaining as hell. Like, it's super fun to watch, but you literally, for the first two episodes, I was like, I don't even really know what the story, like, this is so unusual. But it for me, like, just nailed the landing. I thought it was so good and so funny.
Exciting.
And, like, really heartfelt and, like, really beautiful. There's a scene in the last episode that, when you watch it, we'll talk more about. But I was very, very affected by it. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyone that's on the fence, and I know, once again, it's Peacock and not everyone has Peacock. I do feel like at this point, between, like, Poker Face, and I feel like they have a good amount of stuff that has sort of justified its existence. But if you're on the fence and like, oh, I don't know, this looks weird, check it out. I just thought it was a really, really beautifully well done story. So
cool. There
you go.
I will.
And then my do without is sort of from 2 weeks ago and doesn't really apply anymore, but I'm still going to talk about it because it's a subject that I care about. And that is, in the moment where I was like, are there not going to be televised Tony Awards this year? Because there's a writer's strike happening, and they were not given a waiver by the WGA. Like, they were hoping to get sort of an exemption, and they were not given it. And I was so sad. I was like, am I not going to get a Tony Awards broadcast? And what will that mean? Like, are they going to film it and then hopefully show it in a few months when the strike's not going on? So the latest-ish is that they were not given a waiver. They're not allowed to use guild members as writers, but the WGA is not going to picket it.
Okay.
So they're allowed to have the show. It's going to be a lot of improv and off the top of their heads, I guess. And I guess this happened in 1988. Like, I guess this has happened before where they've done Tony's during a strike. And it's just that thing of, they just have to be careful about who's writing what and who's saying what. So I'll be very curious to see how it goes down. And, you know, Ariana DeBose is kind of making up her own opening monologue, I guess.
I get, you know, if you're present and you keep with what you're sort of like your outline or what you're supposed to be saying, I think she could do a good job. As long as, like, don't meander, you know, don't meander. You got to stay to the point. Then they'll do okay. Keep it tight. So. Interesting.
Stay tuned. I'm very curious to see how that's going to go down. How about you? Anything you could do without this week?
Honestly, it's just everything in the last 2 weeks truly have sort of to do with my voice. I lost my voice and it's come back, and then I couldn't speak because of this, you know, these cavities. And I could do without the, I'm so grossed out. I can barely even talk about it, honestly. But when I left... when I left the dentist a little bit ago, he's like, don't eat for at least an hour. And for me, it had to be two because you might bite your tongue. And all I could think of is me biting my full tongue off. And that is what it made me sick to my stomach. I'm serious. But I just like anything with your mouth, your teeth stuff. I'm just like, oh, goodness. Oh, Lordy. Oh, God. La, la, la.
Yeah, that's really true. Like, I bit my lip right here the other day. And it's that thing where, like, you do it and you're like, well, now my life's ruined.
Yeah.
Like, now everything's going to be terrible for, like,
rebiting
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it's shit. Very, I guess the other thing that I could do without, and I'm going to say this because it's happening right now, is they've changed the locks on my building.
Oh, no.
And given us one key. And there are three of us. Three of us live here. So that's, we're kind of like, I will take part in this conversation when we're done talking of like, hey, who's going to take the key today and who's going to be home and who can, you know.
Wait, and is it one of those keys you can't make copies of?
I think so. It's one of those like sort of intense keys.
That's so stupid. They have to give everybody a key. You can't give just one key.
It's very aggravating. So I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out. It's just like, why? What? Anyway. I didn't give us a topic. I didn't have any. I was gonna think of something last minute, and then I was like, you know what? We have things to do with our day, so maybe we'll just go ahead and this will be a slightly shorter episode. We'll move along. I did have sort of a random thing, but it ties into a couple conversations we've had, and it was funny because I think that maybe I had this information and then I just forgot it. But we were talking about Friday Night Lights season 2 and what a sort of horrible anticlimactic finale it has.
Yeah.
You know, that was because of the writer's strike.
Oh.
They ran out of episodes. Yeah, that was the last one that had been written and they couldn't write anything more. So they were like, well, that's just how the season's going to end. And then we're just not going to talk about it because that's not how they wanted it to end.
That's
anyways,
crazy.
I just thought I was listening to a thing about the strike and they were talking about the things that were being affected by it because, you know, the main reason why the strike is happening is because of streamers.
Right.
Because when the strike happened, yeah, in 2008, like, they were kind of like, well, we don't know what these streamers are, so we're just not going to, like, worry about it. And then, of course, that's what everything is now. So
yeah.
So we'll see how it moves forward. I do hope they figure it out.
Yeah, they need to come. And you know what else, though? The other thing that I was, because, you know, I've done some voiceover stuff, but, like, if you do a voiceover for a video game, which lasts forever, right? And video games have been exceeding profits in multitudes above film for decades, and you don't get anything, like, you don't get any sort of a residual of any kind of, so I feel like they need to, but they're not even DGA, they're not even WGA,
right?
And it is, you are reading words that are written, you know. Just a thought. So hopefully they get it all cleared up, but they have to get it cleared up. They have to work it out on this session. It can't, that's why it's going to take a while because it's an important topic, you know?
It's super important. Like, the landscape of TV is just so different than it was, you know, 15 years ago when everything was a 22, 24 episode season.
Right.
Almost nothing is that anymore. Almost like writers who used to work like 9 months out of the year on one job and could make a living are now working for, you know, 2 or 3 months. Not allowed to be on set, like not guaranteed any kind of, you know, a salary for the year. Yeah, it's just a different landscape. And you know what's happening next? Like the actors, SAG just did a pre-strike authorization, which I don't think anyone thought was going to happen. And it doesn't mean they're going to strike, but it means that they're prepared to.
We voted too, I think. So
yeah, they did. Yeah,
kooky stuff. I mean, I just hope it gets like figured out.
People have money.
Yeah. Although somebody did post something about executives getting rich. And I'm like, I mean, you need to like rephrase that question because I'm sure executive blanket's a big, but like, that's essentially what my husband does. And trust me, I'm just not to be a dick, but he is not getting, not getting rich. So there's that. But he also, I guess he works more in like the production stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's easy to
like
frame
top
it.
Executives probably
right,
like,
correct.
Yeah.
Frame it as though like the people behind the scenes are making all the money. And no, they're, I mean, there, some people are, but.
Sure. I just feel like I was a little like pissed off by that post because it was a good friend. And I'm like, you know, you do know what my husband does, right? Like, but again, I understand. And it was some, I just, sometimes I will say, sometimes when people share things online, it's kind of like, just, it's like, just make sure you know that they're speaking the truth. You know, sometimes it's not. And in that case, but it was some like, some girl who's like influencer, just like with her like top bun being like, oh my God, you know, and just like bitching about it. And I'm like, I don't fucking want to hear Joe Smo talking about that. You know what I mean? And I fully support the WGA because I'm hoping to be a member one day. So get your shit together because I want my, you know what I mean? So anyways.
Right.
But I do think that is something like some of us who get happy with sharing things, you know, just make sure true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's why I don't post very much. Like I don't share a whole lot. I don't post
me
a whole
too.
Lot. Because I'm always kind of like, I don't know. Like, I do my research and try to find things out. But there's always going to be that thing where it's like, well, except for this thing. So, yeah.
And
I don't
also
know.
People get so enraged and they think that, you know, it's helping. And sure, some of it is. But like, also you're just, I don't know. You just got to be careful. It's like everybody gets on their bandwagon and it's like, did that make you feel better? I don't know. What is really going to help? What is really going to help?
And I think what's really going to help is an actual dialogue. And I this is nothing we touch on from time to time that, you know, I don't go to church. I don't have any intention of going to church. I do have friends that go to church. And what they find there is community. And I know, once again, we've also talked about this before, but like, there aren't that many places where you find community anymore, it feels like. There aren't that many places where you're sitting down next to someone who might not agree with you, but you're like sharing an experience and you can have a conversation. It's that sort of the reasonable versus the unreasonable. And I don't mean to always go back to this subject, but it's like when I look at the man who was our president for 4 years and all of the negative things he did and said, and I'll never understand how just on a basic level, a parent can vote for that kind of behavior,
right?
Which is sending the message to their child that it's okay to be mean. It's okay to be cruel. It's okay to make fun of others. It's okay to talk like that. It's okay to act like that. Just on a fundamental, and I truly believe that if we could have that conversation, it would make a difference if I could say like, hey, how do you justify that? Like, how do you look at someone, at a bully, and say that's okay? You can be the most powerful person with those attributes. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to know what the reasonable answer to that would be.
That's good. I'm not sure if it's out yet, but there's a documentary coming out called Arnold. It's about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's like, well, I think it's like a 3-part or 4-part series. It's really interesting. Definitely touches on some of the mistakes he's made and all these things, but in the end I really was like, you know, he's got his faults for sure, but he's a solid human being in terms of like how he, especially how he talks about when he was in office for the governor. It's really fascinating. But at least this guy is like, I don't know if you remember, but there was a time where he spoke against war, you know, and I did you, when he like sort of addressed, he was in his office. Anyways, I'm going to look it up for next episode. And so I can speak a little more clearly on it. But I was like, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Huh. I didn't think of you like that, but now I kind of respect you, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. He feels he's a real mixed bag for me.
Yeah. No. And I think you'll feel that too, but it's a fascinating documentary. Also I had no idea him and Maria Shriver got to get together when she was so young. He was like 30 and I think she was like just 20. Well, I do have a random thing because we were talking about vocal cords. We're talking about it in something, somebody somewhere. My own vocal cords went away. So I got a couple fun facts. Ready?
Cool.
Did you know prior to the Renaissance period, the voice was thought to be sent forth by the heart? So they thought that the voice came from the heart. The vocal cords are now more accurately known as vocal folds. I thought that was interesting because it reflects the different layers of muscle, ligament, and membrane that make up the structure. So it's not like cord. You know, when you think of cords, I think of like strings, but no. Normal anatomy of the human body includes both false vocal cords and true vocal cords. I don't know what that is, but what? Okay. Maybe ones that do speak and one that don't. Many of the muscles used for swallowing are also used for talking. That's why I was like panicking when I had my stuff that makes you numb. Oh my God, it was so scary. I thought this was also interesting. Fluids we drink for hydrating the body do not coat and lubricate the folds directly. If that were to happen, we would choke and cough really bad. That makes sense, right? Like anytime you get some water down there, you're like, I'm having a coughing fit. And of course, the power of our voice is our breath. So with each breath, the diaphragm muscles that separate the lungs from the stomach expand downward. This allows the individual to take in as much air as needed and to power the voice for speaking. Just fascinating to me, like how our goddamn body is amazing. And then the vibration source of our body, when we exhale air from the lungs, it reaches the voice box, and vibration of the vocal folds produces sound. And then the amplification, of course, is through the throat and the mouth. I don't know, just fun facts about our body and how it is interesting. So when the first fun fact about thinking that the voice was sent forth by the heart, I think in some ways it is, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So in some of the pain that we have in our trauma and our, it comes, you know, it hurts our hearts. So that might be why we have a harder time making noise and singing.
Definitely lends itself to speaking from the heart. You know, we interviewed an actress, and she talked about how there was a period of her life that she couldn't sing because she was too sad. And I do think there's something there. I'm just going to breathe for now.
Oh, I love you, Mike Jensen.
I love you too. I feel like I can see your face, and then I look at myself and I'm like, barely a forehead showing.
Oh.
There's my face.
There you are.
All right. I love you. We'll talk. Let's talk
Sounds
a bit,
good.
But thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Bye,
all right, bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Everything okay over there?
No, you went away for a little bit, but I'm excited to find out what you said later when I edit this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I all I could hear was the siren.
Yeah, it's always fun. They like to wait for a nice quiet moment.